You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Most gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you, Lord, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Wonderfully, magnificently, this morning we have heard the carols and we've heard the lessons read, and in this great sweeping narrative of the fragmentation and fallenness of the human condition, and wonderfully, in the midst of all of that, the loving purposes of God, the saving, intervening, gracious purpose of God, not to leave us in that place. The greater story in the midst of our stories is held out to us this morning. And again, it's challenging and it's relational and it is sweeping, and there's so much which is said again about our relationship with God and also our relationship with one another. And as we reflect primarily on this sixth lesson, this portion of Luke, and the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. And reflecting on this, share a conversation I had one time with some friends, and I was talking with them, and I was talking about a particularly challenging relationship and wondering what to do and how to approach it, and what should I say and what should I not say, and all of the angst and emotion that goes into all of that, and my friends were listening to me patiently, and then my friend said something to me, which I believe is something often associated with AA, because he heard in what I was sharing not only sort of, and this is us, isn't it, not only genuine concern, but also perhaps my taking on a role which is not mine, and that is to be a savior in the situation, and to control the situation, and to fix the situation, which clergy rarely run up against. That's not one of our weaknesses and overreaching. But I remember my friend said to me, he said, "Craig, you don't need to get in the way of God's appointment with your friend." That was his saying. You don't need to get in the way of God's appointment with your friend, and that's one of those things that has resonated with me and continues to resonate with me, and I share that with you because what we see this morning in the lessons is God's appointment with humanity, and not just God's appointment with humanity, but speaking specifically to you and to me, God's appointment with you, and God's appointment with me. God does not remain distant. God enters into normal, everyday people and humanity, that salvation and hope and the grace of God might be unleashed not only on the world, but also quite specifically in yours and my lives as well. And in thinking about all of this, one of my favorite short books is Norma Maclean's A River Runs Through It, and many of you may have read that or seen the movie. And if you remember in the story, it's primarily about two brothers. There is a very responsible older brother in Norman, and there is the younger brother Paul, who is wild and beautiful and perpetually in trouble as well. And over and amidst all of this is you have a Scotch Presbyterian minister for a father. And so there is a love of the Lord Jesus. There is a love of grace. There is a love of fly fishing as well. And as the story unfolds, perhaps you remember amongst Paul's vices are drinking and gambling. And at one point, sadly, in the story, Paul is found dead, and he is found dead after a night of gambling and after a night of drinking. And as you might imagine, that haunts the family in many ways, the father and his brother as well. And one of the things that Norman says, and he's the narrator of the story, and saying this, he's speaking to us, but he's also speaking to himself as well as he talks about his brother. And he says this, each one of us here today will at one time in our lives look upon a loved one who is in need and ask the same question, we're willing to help, Lord, but what if anything is needed? For it is true, we can seldom help those closest to us. Either we don't know what part of ourselves to give, or more often than not, the part we have to give is not wanted. And so it is those we live with and should know who elude us, but we can still love them. We can love completely without complete understanding. We can love completely without complete understanding. And he goes on as well in the story to say that it's sunrise. Everything is luminous, but not clear. I think of the words of John, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome it. We can love completely without complete understanding. Why do I share that with you? Because we see wonderfully God breaking into normal humanity, God's appointment with humanity, God's appointment with you and with me. And in Mary's response, we see a wonderful, faithful, and genuine human response. I love the veracity of the scriptures. The angel appears to Mary, and what does Mary think? Oh, no. Fair, right? It's just like, what might this mean? And isn't that true? It's like we want God to act, we want God to speak, but not in a way that's upsetting. Not in a way that might reveal, in fact, perhaps that God is bigger than we are. We want God to come into our lives in sort of nice, manageable ways, but we see that's not what happens here. Suddenly, unexpectedly, God comes into the life of Mary. God comes into our lives as well. And we see wonderfully Mary's, of course, initial response, quite understandably, one of fear, one of uncertainty. But then we see the comfort, we see the hope given to her, we see the word which is spoken to her, and we hear her response, I'm a servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word, which is to say, I don't know what comes next, but I know that you love me. I don't know what comes next, but I know that you're with me. And interestingly, as God talks about the necessity of a Savior coming into the world, into the midst of all of the fragmentation of the human condition and our relationships, how necessarily it is for God to come into the world to be a Savior and a Redeemer and to be a deliverer of you and of me. Two names are mentioned when it talks about how he will be called the Son of the Most High. He will give them the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. I don't know about you, but as I hear those two names, David and Jacob, let me ask you biblically, how was their performance? Exactly. Were they perfectly virtuous? Were they people without failure and sin and shortcoming? And we know the answer. They were broken, flawed people into whose lives God came to work his good and his gracious and his saving and redeeming work. It's interesting, and a river runs through it. There's in the midst of all of this, I think the imagery of the river is the imagery of the movement of God throughout the world. The redeeming work of God. If you remember at the end of the novel, he says, beneath the water are the rocks, and beneath the rocks are the words, and the words are God's. In the midst of all of the frail and flawed and broken humanity, this saving work of God moving through the midst of it, God's appointment with you and with me to come into our lives and to call us to himself. And what we hear is God who comes to flawed people, to be a Savior. And we hear also, for you and for me as well, Mary cannot understandably wrap her arms around it all. And we want to. I want to. I want to have the ability to wrap my arms around all of it. But of course, I can't, and you can't. We can't hold it all in our hands, but what we are given is greater than that. We're given a Savior who comes to us. We're given a Savior who calls us to himself. Mary says, I don't know where it goes from here, but I'm your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And what we hear this morning, what I'd like to hold out to us this morning is this. In the midst of all of our lives and relationships and the things that are too much for us, we hear that they're not too much for God. Because the word is given, for nothing will be impossible with God. You and I have the opportunity to live as people who are flawed and redeemed, people who are limited, but people who are hopeful. Because God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. God has made an appointment with humanity, with you and with me, to know that though we are entirely limited, nothing will be impossible with God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you come into all the impossibilities of the human condition. And in your incarnation and your death and your resurrection, you give the phenomenal possibility, and more than the possibility, the reality of forgiveness, of restoration, of new and risen life with you. And we give you thanks, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.